And good morning, Bruce.
And good morning, Cora. And good morning, listeners. Wonderful to have your company this morning and wonderful to see those slightly higher temperatures coming up. Of course, that's a challenge for those of us who are somehow involved in the wine industry, because those little buds are popping. We've got early bud burst and just hoping that we're not going to get any frosts in the next couple of weeks. Yes, that would be catastrophic for our vineyards. So there's still people out there pruning and finishing off, but it's that season starting all over again. Can you believe it's less than 4 months till Christmas? Where is the year going? And well, a little bit over 2 weeks ago on our Victorian lockdown. I've heard that we are convicts or something here in Victoria. And a maximum of 18 degrees, as Cora's just said. And I don't know about you, but I enjoyed Frank's breakfast show this morning. Wasn't that upbeat? And wow, Frank, you have lots of energy. Really, really enjoyed that this morning. Well done. And lest you think otherwise, all of us here, all of us presenters here at Yarra Valley FM are all volunteers, including the amazing Frank. So he does a fantastic job. Tomorrow, the 28th of August, do you know what day tomorrow is, anyone? Any listeners? It's Daffodil Day, and the daffodils are out. It's the opportunity by the Cancer Council to raise funds for their annual appeal. And if you want to know more about Daffodil Day, go to daffodilday.com.au, give them a call, and they've got all sorts of information there about cancer and what they're doing, and you can donate if you want as well. So there you go. As always, I have an amazing guest today, also via Zoom, of course, in our current lockdown situation. And I'm going to give you a few clues and see if you can guess what our guest this morning might be talking about. The program is, it's one of those programs where we're going to take a bit of a chance. Things might get a little bit dicey, but odds on, it will be a great program. It's been on the cards for quite some time. Look, that's enough horsing around. I'm going to give you a sporting chance to see if you can guess what we might be talking about this morning. Well, Brian Kirk, I haven't seen you for a while. Lovely to see you on Zoom there. Lovely to have you on the program. It's been something we've talked about for a long time, isn't it, Brian?
I think it's almost 2 years.
Yeah, is it that long?
Where we are today.
Any listeners, anybody who has a name that starts with a BR, I reckon is okay. So Brian, you fit that bill, which is wonderful. Brian and I had the pleasure of working together at National Disability Services. That's NDS, and a big shout out to all the NDSs, Sarah and all of you. Well, in the early days, Brian, wasn't it? Really right at the beginning of the NDIS rollout in 2015, thereabouts?
Yeah, and it was, I mean, both you and I were on the business readiness side of things and preparing organisations to become, so some of the terminology we used, business ready for the NDIS.
Yes.
Consumer-driven care and all this. So both you as the national, so the state sector, support manager, and myself as the learning development manager, second time round, but first time round was sector support in developing costing and pricing, marketing, and business tools.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a few years ago now.
It was exciting times, and I should just tell our listeners by way of introduction that Brian has a very strong background in employment and training and running workshops. He's one of the most amazing presenters I've ever seen in real life, and oh, Brian, you're blushing there on Zoom. Hey, Brian is currently now the service and business manager for GHS. We'll tell you all about that in a little moment. But let's have a song first of all to set the mood. And if you haven't already guessed, we'll see if you can get it from this song. It's called One More Chance.
But you can see them
their troubled souls wander by, and I feel them leaning on my shoulder to cry, oh, one more chance. The naked tree of winter seems to stand so proud, lording up all mortal as he goes, and the tears which well beneath his somber shroud will fall with the shame of somebody who knows he can never be like the thought of a rose whose beauty remains even when the bloom goes. Oh, one more chance, or is it too late to change the way we're bound to go? Is it too that surely one of us must
with Bruce Argyle here on FM 99.1, Community Conversations, our regular Thursday morning program. And via Zoom, I have the amazing Brian Kirk. And Brian, you've got a wonderful backdrop there, which looks like the coast. I reckon that has something to do with you being president of the Mentone Surf Life Saving Club. Would that be right?
Well, to correct you, it's Mentone Life Saving Club only surf clubs on the surf coast.
Ah, of course. There you go.
Bay clubs are get rid of the surf component.
There you go. And you've just been re-elected president, and an amazing club down there. I've had the pleasure of seeing your setup, and wow, must be tough at the moment though with COVID-19 not being able to get out on the waves, so to speak.
Oh, it is. We've got 1,400 members, and believe it or not, even with the water temperature at 9 degrees, we even have winter nippers happening. So
wow.
Normally we have 60 to 80 kids on a Saturday doing beach stuff, but now they can't. And that includes all the adults that used to help. So there's a lot of people not doing stuff, being active, engaging with each other. So it's a bit tough for some of the members.
Wow. And Brian, we've known each other fairly well. We've worked together and so on. Tell us something that I don't know about you. There you go. There's a challenge. Are you a Melburnian? Did you grow up in Melbourne?
I was born in Chelsea, but we had an interesting life. I think by the time I was 13, we'd already lived in 28 different houses
wow.
throughout Melbourne, including Denali.
There you go. That's
yeah. You didn't know that.
I did not know that. Not 28. Wow, that is absolutely amazing. Look, Brian is here this morning. If you didn't guess from my introduction or from our One Last Chance song, we're going to be talking about gambling today. And Wow. Where do we start? Where do we start? Perhaps, Brian, gambling, is it really something we need to talk about? Is it an issue for us in Australia?
Look, it is. And I'll even to use that it's gambling harm, the harms of gambling. If you consider social consciousness about smoking and drinking, say, 20 years ago, that's where we are with gambling now. It's a mental health issue. It's been recognised as one of the major causes, as a major cause of mental health issues. And it often appears in conjunction with other things, family violence, standalone mental health issues, theft. You know, there's quite a few upstanding Victorians that have gone to jail because of having to feed their gambling addiction or their gambling problem. So, yeah, it's a big issue. So probably the biggest challenge we have is how it's been treated by advertisers at the moment. It's been normalised.
Yes, I've noticed that. It's really full on, isn't it?
Yeah, well, like last year, I use smoking and drinking as an example. Years ago, we used to have smoking as the major sponsor of all the sporting events. Now it's gambling. So it's trying to normalise it and make it a bit of a funny story. When I was growing up, I thought it was normal to have a smoke and a beer before you went out and played a game of rugby.
Yep. You know I'm a big rugby fan, Brian, so you're talking my language there. Go on.
Excellent. And now they're trying to do that with gambling. Rather than talking about statistics of sport, they're talking about the odds of sport. So it's changed that conversation. It's making normal. So young kids are a particular risk. But the access part of this COVID bit is people can't go to the pokie machines, but there's all, I don't know if you noticed, the number of online gambling ads. It's quite significant.
And gambling is right, and the figures are right up now, aren't they, in COVID, in this lockdown, Brian?
Alcohol's gone up 20%. Gambling's, I don't know the figures, but it's gone up quite considerably as well. And advertisers wouldn't be advertising online gambling if it wasn't making money out of it. So,
I read on your website there's estimated to be about 500,000 Victorians that experience some form of gambling harm, either themselves or you know, their family, friends, or whatever.
That's right, they do. Yeah, it's quite, and that's part of Victorian government, bless their cotton socks, through the Victorian Responsible Gambling Foundation, have got a number of agencies throughout Victoria, and Connect Health and Community, who I work for, and in your area, it's Each, have gambling help services. So we provide therapeutic, financial, also venue support, and community engagement staff to, you know, just to tackle this.
And even before that, Brian, you also run workshops and provide resources around preventing gambling, gambling harm, don't you?
That's right, because it's a health issue. We've taken a health, community health framework approach where we're looking at intervention and prevention. There's a lot of our activities are on the treatment of gambling harm. We're really focusing on the intervention and prevention side of things, because that's, again, using smoking and alcohol as an example. That's how you stop the next generation of people, and you make it, address it as a health issue. So, yeah.
Mm. We're going to have another song. You're listening to Brian Kirk. We're talking the challenges of gambling, and of course, in moderation, in balance, gambling can be an okay thing, but often somewhere along the way, things go horribly wrong. And we're going to ask Brian in a moment, just where does that happen? How does that happen? And so on. So stay tuned. We are going to have In Vertigo, Chances Are.
Just fade, so is it better to yourself, but if you find a way, you can always carry on.
Bruce Argyle, and my very special guest via Zoom this morning is Brian Kirk. And Brian, we were just talking off air, and we've had one of our listeners just ask us, when we use the term gambling harm, perhaps just let's get to the bottom of it. What are we actually talking about when we talk about gambling harm?
It's like a lot of industries, we tend to get a bit jargonistic. So within the gambling foundation area, gambling harm is about trying to define the seven types of gambling harm. So it's talking about when something, loosely speaking, gambling done properly and in moderation with good behavioural stuff can be really good fun and it's entertaining. So that's really important. It's done. It's only when that behaviour starts getting negative, severe, or creating problems. So gambling harm, when you talk about it, generally means relationship difficulties. 25% of gambling harm issues are relationship based. You're going out with your partner, Bruce, and suddenly you need money to gamble, so therefore you can't pay the bills, and there's a level of mistrust.
Right.
You're arguing, or you've just spent your pay packet on the horses, and you've got nothing for the week. So there's creates tension. So gambling harm relationships. Health problems. Now you get stressed. Suddenly you've spent everything. You're a tradie. You've got, after you pay your bills, you've got $50, but you've just spent $90 on online gambling. So then you get stress. So that becomes health issues and things like that.
Yep.
Obviously emotional and psychological. People gamble for many reasons. A battered housewife may go to the pokies to get safety. So then while she's there, she starts bedding and becomes, after a while, that's her trigger for safety. Anyway, so it becomes, you have emotional, psychological things. Obviously financial, because we've got cases of people where they've got to pay out because of a car accident, and that's meant to look after them their whole life, and suddenly they've spent it on in 6 months and they've got nothing.
Yeah.
So financial problems and houses, to pay your debts.
And I have a good friend whose mother lost her house, directly because of gambling.
Yeah.
Gambled it away.
There's with elder abuse, a child who may have a gambling problem may have rights over the mother's house, so signs away the house. So suddenly the mother or the parent loses because the child has a gambling problem and is creating that financial difficulty. So there's also issues with work or study, not your focus is elsewhere, cultural problems, which is a big one, because the shame and stigma of having a gambling problem can often, in a cultural, means that you don't seek help.
Yep.
Or if you do seek help or people find out, the burden on you and your family can be really bad. So those cultural problems are really interesting. And then, of course, criminal activity. There are people steal and get money to
sustain the habit, I guess.
Sustain the habit. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah. So gambling harm, all those things. But it's essentially becomes a mental health issue. As an ex-gambler myself, I won't tell you what footy club I used to work for, but I remember getting at my $6,000 end of year bonus. Got it at 5:00. At 1:00 in the morning, I was outside the casino in the gutter, spewing up everywhere. Nothing. Lost it all.
Ouch.
It was a wake-up call for me, because then made me realise, gee, I've got to go home and tell my wife, who was very cranky.
Yeah.
I suddenly thought, well, I've got a problem. And what I found was I suspect behaviours now. I never gamble and drink. If I go out gambling, say play poker with my mates, I set myself a limit. And rather than thinking I'm going to make money, in my mind, how much am I willing to lose or have entertainment this week?
Yeah.
So set yourself some boundaries. And, that was 10 years ago, and I've gambled quite a few times, but I've never been in that situation again. So it's creating those good behavioural things that you would do for anything.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. What perhaps for listeners for whom it may be an issue, or for whom they may have a friend or a family member, faced with these challenges, talk us through what can people expect if they were to ring, the 1-800 number that we'll give in a minute. What could they expect? What does it look like in terms of getting, help, for this challenge?
The help that's available isn't just the person who has the gambling harm issue, but it's also family members, other people within their environment. So what they'll get is a very well-trained person on the other end that will talk about what the issue is and make recommendations. And in some cases, it may be here's a referral to a financial counsellor, or here's a referral to a therapeutic counsellor, whatever. They'll talk you through. So the initial discussion is in some ways a therapeutic intervention as well.
And all confidential, of course, Brian.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And that's the beauty of it. And one of the best things about the gambling harm program is that it's not limited. We've got people that have one session with a counsellor. We've got other people that have been doing it for 5 years and they've probably had 200 sessions. So it's not like a mental health program where you only have 10. It's whatever you need. So it's really it's trained people dealing with it from the first phone call or email. I look after you and take me. Often people ring and they're not ready for the next step, but just the fact that they've rung is a really good first step.
Fantastic. And on that note, let's get a phone number, can we, Brian, that where people could ring a 1-800 number, and my understanding is that they would be referred to their, their local service, the one that's most appropriate to them.
It's really geographic. So Gamblers Help is 1-800-858-858.
858-858, that's very easy to remember.
And we've also got a dedicated youth line. So it's 1-800-262-376. And in your area, Bruce, it's EACH is the agency, the gambling help agency.
Fantastic.
In your area. In southern Melbourne, so all the way from Port Melbourne to Maxton Mornington Peninsula.
And we do have listeners down there, Brian, you'll be pleased to know. Yep.
What's that?
We do have listeners in that area, so that's great.
Fantastic. Well, that's it's Connect Health and Community who I work for. So, yeah. So
fantastic. And you're listening. Thank you so much, Brian. And we'll talk more in a moment. You're listening to the amazing Brian Kirk, and we are obviously talking gambling harm and gambling help. And we'll hear more about it. But let's get a bit of bounce and listen to ABBA. And, of course, it'd have to be Take a Chance on Me. And if you're a long-term listener of our Community Conversations program, Kath and Bob and Jeanette and Charles and Susie all the way live streaming from Scotland, and Margaret and all the others who listen to us every week. Wonderful to have your company. It's challenging times at the moment for all of us with COVID-19. And if you're a first-time listener this morning, welcome. Wonderful to have you here on the program as well. And our very special guest this morning is a long-term friend and colleague, Brian Kirk, and we're talking gamblers, gambling. We're talking the harm that can arise because of gambling, and the help and the resources that is available through some amazing organisations out there. And off air, Cora and I were just talking, Brian, and we were just wondering about what about the people who are in denial that they have a gambling problem, you know, that it's a huge problem for their partner or their family member, but the person themselves is really denying that it's a problem. Where do we go with that?
Well, that's a big issue because gambling's a mental health issue. Denial, unless you recognise that you've got a problem, you're less unlikely to go out and get help. So part of the Victorian Responsible Gambling Foundation's mandate is that if you're a significant other, say your partner has a gambling issue and refuses to do something about it, you've just lost your first house, there's money problems, there's relationship problems, you can actually call Gamblers Help as well and get support, because maybe you just need some strategies in your life that can help your partner be aware of what's going on. So there's really some positive direction stuff that you can do. There's also in situations, we mentioned earlier about elder abuse, where elderly mother or father may be getting it financially abused by their child who's siphoning money out to their gambling addiction or gambling problem. Well, by attending a financial counselling service, they may be able to make recommendations on how you can secure your rights, your property, your finance. So it's about we all have rights, but we also have it's about understanding what strategies to put in place to protect you. Because you, in most cases, you love your partner, getting help for yourself will eventually help them as well. So it's really important for significant others and partners that it's harms affecting them, and there are some really positive things they can do it. And without sounding like an advertisement, 41800, and then you can talk to someone and get some strategies in place.
Fantastic. And Brian, take us to the other end. People who do make contact, and the 1800 number is there for people, 1-800-858-858, or the youth line, 1-800-262-376, as easy as that. For people who do make contact, who do talk to someone, who do, you know, access one of the amazing programs you have, how does it end up? Do we get results? Do people change behaviors? You've told us your own personal story, and thank you for sharing that. But for other people, does it work? Do people change?
That is a really good question, Bruce. If you ask individual therapists, some of these therapists, talking about some of our own, have been doing it for 10 years. Yes, they do. And sometimes it's about maintaining a level of behaviour that they're comfortable with. Under COVID, interesting, the number of past clients that have come back has increased. So there are positive outcomes, and they all have good positive outcome stories. But at the end of the day, it's like me trying to tell my son he should study. It's up to him to do it and wanting to do it.
Yeah, so there's got to be some commitment, some willingness to make change and to address, you know, obviously the issue that's at hand, isn't it?
That's right. And the therapist and the counsellors will, you know, whether it's financial or therapeutic, will give you strategies, but ultimately it's you. It's up to the person, but they'll help you and guide you and provide support along the way.
Fantastic.
And that's why often some families come in together. So whether it's couple counselling or family counselling, sometimes as a unit they can do it together. And it's not about putting blame, it's about saying, hey, we've got a situation here, what can we do as a group to do something for it. So, you know, couple counselling has been really good, group counselling, where you can actually, other people talking about the same things, like, not like AA, but similar, where people are saying, well, here's a strategy we're using a group to build and provide support for each other.
So, and Brian, I'm assuming in these COVID challenging times that those groups are happening via Zoom or online of some kind, is that right? Or
I can't talk about the other agencies, but definitely Gamblers Help Southern. We're doing couple counselling by Zoom. Group, not so much.
Yes.
Just because you need that interaction.
Sure.
But definitely couple counselling has been done by video. Interesting, under COVID, the number of people that are using telehealth is really increased. It's actually convenient. So there's not so much this week, but when stage three, a person will call while they're going for a walk.
Yes.
They'll call while they're in the car. So rather than having this idea that you've got to see everybody face to face,
actually makes it more accessible in a way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Listeners, if you've just joined us, you listen to the voice of Brian Kirk, and Brian's the Service and Business Manager at Connect Health for the amazing Gamblers Health program. And Brian, this is tough work. This is not easy, and it's not easy for the people who are asking for help, and it's not easy for the people who are providing that help. What are the challenges? What are the biggest challenges for people who are working, like yourself, your team? I know you've got an amazing team, Clover and other people there. What are the tough bits? What are the hardest bits of the work that you do?
Well, on my side of the business, it's about the operational side of things, but we have a duty of care to our clinicians, our counsellors, to make sure that their mental well-being and their state of mind is really important. So we have both internal supervision, where they get to talk to people, and they do group supervision, and we also have external supervision. So we spend a lot of time and effort so they can have an outlet, so they can talk individually, internally and externally. So that's a big part of it. But some of them are thriving at working from home. Some others are really struggling. So it's like any workplace. You know, you get the most out of your workers if they're looked after, have somewhere to go, and they're engaged, and they have a confidence they can say, hey, I've got an issue, I've got a problem, and being responsive. So that's my part of the operation side. That's what I do. I have a clinical manager that we work side by side, and her role is really making sure that the clinical staff are in the right mindset. It's interesting to look after them.
Yeah, thanks so much, Brian. We're going to go in for another song, but just amazing work that you are doing, and well done to any listeners this morning that are providing any kind of support or help during these challenging COVID times, to emergency services workers, to the SESs and the CFAs, the ambulance, the police, all of those who are providing special services in trying times at the moment. And good on you. And to all the volunteers, especially, that are associated with our community groups, our not-for-profit organisations, the work you do, just amazing. Hats off to you. And particularly at the moment, we know how difficult that is. Before we go to the next song, I'd like to dedicate it to Maureen Bond, who passed away just 2 weeks ago from HUE, the Healesville Environmental Watch organisation, and a stalwart of the environment, just an amazing person. So, yes, here's for you, Maureen.
Shakes all over like a chilling blues, kinda like it. Gotta be cool, relax, get hit, and get on my tracks. Take a back seat, hitch on, and take a long ride on my blue bike until I'm ready.
Ready, ready, raise your little thing all over.
After the 10 o'clock news, we've got our Amazing Schools program. Stay tuned for that with Cora. And, of course, after 11 o'clock, we have our art journal with Luke Sinclair from Sticky Institute and Ashley Ronning, a special guest from Hello Press. So stay tuned for that. It will be fantastic. And you've been listening this morning to Brian Kirk. We've been talking the challenges of gambling and the resources and supports that are out there for people. Brian, we're almost out of time. Doesn't it fly? It's been so good to connect with you. Just finish off by telling our listeners, what about community engagement in schools? Are you doing anything in that area?
Yeah, very much so. So any area in Victoria, the Foundation have developed a school education program aimed at year 10s and year 11s. So a community engagement person, educator, can go out and talk about gambling harm, specifically for youth. Our community engagement people are available to talk at to any groups or any networking groups, whatever, any community groups, about the issues of gambling within the community. So that's part of that intervention prevention approach that we have, all the agencies have. So, yeah, so you can either call the local or just go via the 1-800 number as well. They can direct us.
Thank you, Brian. And the 1-800, one more time, is 1-800-858-858 or the youth line, 1-800-262-376. Brian, there's a whole lot of other things I'd love to ask you. And I'm just kind of sad that we've run out of time this morning. But thanks a million for coming in. Well, not coming in via Zoom. There you go.
Well, this is the most serious you and I've ever been. We've normally... frivolous.
Oh, Brian, are you referring to my opening jokes this morning? my story. Sorry about that.
No, it's good. It's been a pleasure.
I promised people that it was on the cards that we would have a great program, that it was odds on, and things were looking a bit dicey there for a while. But anyway, if you've been a part of the program this morning, thank you. Thank you for being a regular listener or a new listener. And we look forward to your company again next week. Brian Kirk, thank you so much for being a part of it this morning.
Thank you very much, Bruce, and thank you to the listeners.
And listeners, we will see you the same time next week. Have a great week. Enjoy the slightly warmer weather that's coming up this week. We, I'm sure, are all looking forward to that. Keep counting down those days towards the end of lockdown. I'm counting them as much as anybody else, I'm sure. And, a big shout out to all of our listeners this morning on Yarra Valley FM.